Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, welcome back. Happy Friday. With us now, this is cool. It's been a cool week. It's been a good week with these.
I agree.
With us now on the Western Hotline is Gord Stellick. You can hear Gord on Sirius XM, NHL Network, radios, The Morning Skate, 7 a.m. Eastern, weekday mornings, channel 91. And, by the way, you can hear us on the Sirius XM app or on channel 175 if your car works really well. Check out SiriusXM.com/SportsPass for more details how to subscribe to SiriusXM's all-new sports plan. I want to talk about curling, but that seems like that would be really selfish because I met Gord at, a curling event in Niagara Falls a few years ago.
Leading with that. Gord, do you remember this interaction? We were talking about it yesterday, and we didn't wager on whether you'd remember meeting him at a curling event. But
I would never be so bold.
The world awaits your answer, Gord.
I absolutely do. It's there's all kinds of great people, aren't there, at curling events. I know that's the same a lot of places, but I 100% remember it very, very well. And, you know, the other part, it's great that we have a partnership now on Sirius. I'll tell you, I've listened to GR for decades. Like, I am a Toronto guy, but Buffalo was my wheelhouse. So great being on board. And then great hearing NFL football starting, because that means NBA and NHL and curling.
That's all happening.
Curling has all this new stuff, it seems, like the slam events and the Rock League and everything like that, but we can put that aside. From your perspective, Gord, as you know, we all in Buffalo just were kind of blown away by what happened with the Sabres last year. One question I've wanted to ask all our hockey analysts is just like, to what extent you might have seen it coming? I mean, we waited so long for just an appearance in the playoffs with the Sabres, and then you get that first place and game seven of the second round. Did you have any sense that that was on the horizon for them?
I would say almost zero. That kind of turnaround, like when you're working with a team, that's what you hope for, right? You're as a matter of fact, like all summer you sit there and you just think about the best case scenario, if everything can go right. And that had not happened in Buffalo for a long period of time. And, you know, guys, that's why you play the games, right? Because things that happen that just don't make sense. And when I say that with respect, because I liked how they were putting things together. But to have another season that's going down the tubes, and then a light switch goes, and it does a complete 180 like it did, it's so unusual. I was, hey, very happy for the fans, long-suffering fans. I don't like to see, you know, organizations with a history like Buffalo or any of them. You know, Toronto was it for a while, Detroit now. I mean, have that many years that you're out of the playoffs. So I always felt, they kept retooling again. I liked what I saw coming together, but I was stunned how it just seemed to do a 180 in the middle of the season.
It's hard not to be stunned, Gord, when the season begins. I mean, there was plenty. There was some analysis before the season that, like, okay, you know, the decor, the goaltending will stabilize. They could be a wild card contender. But then the season begins, and they're in last place, and you're just like, okay, here we go again. And then the switch just flips. I mean, I think it's very hard not to be stunned, however into it you are and however deep you go on your analysis of the additions and subtractions in an off season. Once it began and they looked like the same old junk, it's very hard to expect it to turn around. In fact, it took the 10-game winning streak and then some. I think for every, we were asking each other into March, like, are they good? Are they really good? And it's just, you know, the scar tissue is deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the one constant in any sport is if you get your confidence and all of a sudden, like, you believe you can do it and that. And, you know, teams will quite often say that, but they don't really mean it. And then to, you know, experience winning, get addicted to winning. And you know, there was that one game when I remember there were a few fights and you could see them in the penalty box. Yeah, we're kicking ass now. We're, you know, one tonight and we're kicking their ass physically. And, wow, we can win all kinds of different ways. And it was kind of, you know, great to see them kind of grow, learn to win, embrace winning, and decide that they can do it.
All that said, what do you think of their offseason? Because there were two, I don't know, Kingpin is strong, but like Tuck really mattered for them. Byram was a part of that top four on their decor that really ran the whole thing for Lindy Ruff. And they're both gone, and there's not a beard-growing, you know, 30-year-old in anybody's place. It's all kids. And so, I don't know, what did you think of their offseason?
Well, you know, you know, in Toronto last year showed when you lose a Mitch Marner, what it did for Vegas and what it did in the opposite way for Toronto. No, not single-handedly, but, you know, your elite players are huge in making that really important margin of difference. And I wouldn't compare them to Marner, those losses in Buffalo. But certainly, you know, Byram, they had to look at it in a kind of a businessy situation. They got futures back, and they looked a year ahead as far as in maybe being a UFA or a contract they weren't going to sign. Tuck was a strange one. I just kind of thought it would come together, but they got something for him. So, yeah, those are significant losses. But the biggest thing, you know, Mike and Bulldog, is, like, this division. Like, you know, you may have made any team a couple strides last year, but the Atlantic Division, if you don't make the playoffs, you're going to be pissed off. Like, I mean, they're just is everybody coming full force. So that's going to be the toughest thing that, you know, you have that great year in Buffalo and, you know, you get back in the deep end of the pool in the playoffs. You do it at a time when the division as a whole has never been stronger.
Yeah, it might have been the best division ever that they won last year. And, you know, that's Toronto taking a step back. But, I mean, you had, what, five 100-point teams or 99-point teams? We have been trying, Gord. We don't have that much power, which is evidenced by the fact that we've not been able to convince anyone to move the Sabres or even the Bills to, like, the southern divisions of sports. That seems like a much more comfier existence. It's just never gone over, never gotten off the ground, really, that idea. Connor Hellebuck, we've been spending more time this summer with the Sabres talking about a player who isn't on the Sabres, maybe, than anyone else. But this continuing speculation about Hellebuck, fueled by insiders continuing to mostly at least report that they think he still will be traded. And he's made that statement affirming that he wants to be. So if you were the Sabres, how hard would you want to go at him?
Well, I strongly, I don't know what that's the right word. I mean, I look at Buffalo and you see the example of, you know, Dominic Hasek and Ryan Miller and what that means, okay? So among many things last year, the goaltending was certainly up to snuff, but to have a guy, then there's very few of those guys anymore. They're just, you know, because a whack of them retired, the Lundqvist of the world and that. You just don't have a number of goaltenders that you put and say, okay, that is the number one. I mean, there's a lot more partnerships now and tandems and that. So I would think, and, you know, I don't know if leverage is going to come into play in the Sabres or another team's favor in getting him. It seems like Evan Cheveldayoff is determined that, you know, he's got a certain price he wants to get in Winnipeg. But I just think that, you know, you got to go after this guy for the Buffalo Sabres.
Is anybody talking about him not showing up for training camp, or is it a little too early? Like, if nothing changes?
So he's going to go on vacation with Dylan Larkin. Is that it? They'll be in some island. It is the Wild West out there with the types of contracts that have been given out, the types of players that, like, you know, whether you look at Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa to Florida that have been able to demand and get a trade with term left on their contracts, and teams kind of realizing, you know what, it's better that we acquiesce that way than trying to be the hard asses. So those are going to be interesting questions about, you know, whether it's Larkin in Detroit or Hellebuck in Winnipeg. What is the tactic once training camp starts? So I'm going to wait and see what gives, but I think there would be a decent chance that they're not going to go to training camp. Then do the Red Wings and the Jets play, you know, hard asses and say, well, you know what, we're not going to trade you until you're in camp. So there's just a lot of stuff going on that's not usual in the off season.
Gord, how much, if at all, do you think it matters to the Sabres to get a big move into the boat? We already talked about Tuck and Byram leaving. I like the Zellweger bet to replace some of what Byram did for them style-wise. I think it might be a good fit there. It's a bet I would make anyway, but I already talked about how they didn't really do anything substantive to replace those guys. They're hoping for the kids to backfill. I wonder if a team that had 109 points and won the division to break a 15-season playoff drought should symbolically look like a team that's like, okay, look, we're doing this now because we're here.
And you made a good point too as well. You know, so they didn't backfill substantively, but they did in Zellweger and that, you know, get some quality. But No. The fans all like it. It's sexy, right? The big bold move. Love it. Talk about it. We love action. It should mean points. It should mean a Stanley Cup. No, exactly the opposite. Stay the course about whatever move. You know, the great teams are the ones that, okay, every move you make, if it makes you incrementally better, and you make more moves that make you more incrementally better than a step back, that's how you get there. I mean, you look at the bricks that the Florida Panthers put together with all the different acquisitions and how it all came about. You know, while Barkov languished as a top young player for years out of the playoffs. So, no, I think Jarmo Kekäläinen is just the great right guy, kind of guy to be GM of the Buffalo Sabres. You do not – I mean, the one is the little one, like, say, the rare unrestricted free agent like Mitch Marner was for Vegas. Like, you can't go wrong with that because you're giving up nothing. But in other instances – no, you got to surround yourself with quality hockey people and make the best hockey moves based on that.
Gord, before you go, just a thought on the Leafs here. I think it's interesting, just, you know, in a vacuum, a team that was at where they appeared to be at would go and make the Bobrovsky signing, Darren Radish even. Like, they've acted, in my opinion, more like a team that was right on the cusp of the playoffs or even in the playoffs. But maybe that's the market a little bit, where I don't know how much patience anybody has there for, like, what would look more obviously like a rebuild. So what do you think of the Leafs at this point?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the Atlantic Division earlier. So you have the previous year's team that won the Stanley Cup, Florida, and the previous year's team that came first, Toronto, not getting in the playoffs last year. So about the bounce back on both sides. That was real. Just much as the switch went on in Buffalo, the switch never went on in Toronto last year, which almost was just as much of a surprise what went. And I unfortunately get the feeling that having made 9 consecutive playoffs the previous 9 years, that is over. You know, that is over as far as when we're talking Stanley Cup. And where you want to avoid getting is, I always think you got to be fish or fowl. You got to be in the deep end of the pool with a legitimate chance at the Cup, which they were for a number of years, or you got to be doing the rebuild, which, yeah, you can be a little long on the rebuild like Buffalo was and Detroit is right now, but, you know, that's the way you got to go. But because they have their next 2 years' first-round picks are not lottery-protected and are been traded to Boston and Philadelphia, you don't have that alternative. So I don't know if they should bounce back just based on, is Austin Matthews healthy? Is Tanev healthy? Do they get better goaltending? But then all of a sudden you get in that one, I think the worst place to be is the mushy middle. Then you get that mushy middle that, okay, maybe you're good enough to make the playoffs, and then you get eliminated in the first round, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. So I'm intrigued to see, can they do a more significant bounce back or not?
Yeah, I agree completely with that. I mean, go get it or step back. And I think fans have more patience and understanding for that than ever before. Like, maybe when you were GM, just going back 20, 30 years ago, I don't know. Like, I don't know if people were really ready to listen to, we're going to rebuild. But, you know, then at the same time, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I think owners weren't listening back then.
Yeah.
Now, right. if you share, like, you know, fans are not stupid, okay? Like, if you share what you're doing and they can see what you're doing, then I think that's the way to go and bring them in on it. Now, again, in Buffalo is an example. It carried on too long, but still, you know, fans will, you know, like to see. And if you share that with them, I think you can get that kind of patience. Like, you look with the Montreal Canadiens, you know, for example. So anyway, we'll see what gives. I think the key, though, right? Curling, hurry hard, right? Whatever you do, hurry hard, hurry hard right. is the credo for all 32 NHL teams. How about that?
Keep sweeping.
It does have to be hard to really back up if you've got Matthews still in his prime and Nylander still in his prime. Like, that's tough. I mean, it's one thing if those guys said, I want out now, sort of like Larkin and Hellebuck have done, then maybe that's different. Then you can maybe back the truck all the way up. I think it's hard to back it all the way up when you've got those dudes in their primes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to keep running at it. And you got to say, okay, you got to hope last year was a blip, and Buffalo fans have to hope last year wasn't a blip for the Buffalo Sabres. And
right.
That's what we'll see. Like I said, there'll be some great battles back to the good old days, when they're both, you know, playoff contenders, expect to be in the playoffs, like the great rivalry really has been since the Sabres joined the league in 1970.
Right on. Listen for Gord Stellick on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, The Morning Skate, 7 a.m. Eastern weekdays, Channel 91. Thank you, Gord. This was really nice.
Well, great, and good luck to the baseball team, too. They've been developing real good players for Toronto Blue Jay fans as well. So always enjoy your show and enjoy the station.
Thanks very much again.
Very
have
kind
a great,
of you to say that, Gord. Thanks.
Labor Day weekend.
Yep. See you guys.
All right, Gord Stellick with us on the Western Hotline. That's labor with a U.
That's right. Yep.
Got to put that U in there. No I in team.
Or in labor.
Or in labor.
Either spelling.
Either country. That's right. Good point. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after this timeout. This is WGR.